We're going to try to give you a lot of practical things today. In fact, I've got just a few other little random handouts. Go ahead. Somebody else can come help me here, David. Everybody's going to need one of each of these for this session. And, but in fact, I had an entire talk scheduled for this first talk that was all just nuts and bolts. Let me tell you how we do all the things we do. This is how we do Growth Track, and this is how we get people onto the team, and this is what happens after they join the team, and this is where all that kind of thing. So I'm going to try to drop some of that stuff in here, but then about 2 days ago, I felt like, oh, look, I have the opening talk, and there's literally not one scripture there, and I'm a pastor, and we're at a church. So I should probably maybe make things a little more spiritual. And so I've just switched it up. I want to talk a little bit. Come on back here, man. You want to talk? You can do it. And so I want to give you a little bit more of the bigger picture on how we have developed a healthy culture here at Real Life. And then we really want to help you do it. The reality is, here's your opening line. Hopefully you've already got this up and open. And that's this. Oh, let's pray. Let's do that. Sorry, pray first. Let me remember my rubber band. That's here on purpose. Otherwise, I'll just get task-oriented. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the chance to be together. I thank you for these folks who have invested time, energy, resources to be here today. I pray that for every single one, they would take home at least something, at least one thing that is going to help them lead better, that is going to help their church reach more people, that's going to help the kingdom of God grow and expand. And so we ask you to be at the center of everything, that you would be glorified, that you would be magnified, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, developing a healthy culture. Here's your first line. Good organizations are competent. And we have some people in the room today who are not pastors. They're not here representing a church. They're representing a parachurch ministry here in Hancock County. So I'm using the word organizations. Good organizations are competent, which means they know what to do and they know how to do it. And I would even argue that most organizations know how to do it well. You guys are not lacking information on what to do and how to do it. There are 100 million podcasts on that. In fact, it's one of the things I've wrestled with as somebody who has a heart to help churches and organizations. I have held myself back because I thought, why would I need to do this? People have YouTube, you know? Why would I need to talk about this? People have podcasts. But there is something about gathering in a room and being in relationship and being able to wrestle with some of those tensions and talk it out that is different than listening to a podcast and then showing up at your next staff meeting and just, you know, regurgitating what you heard the day before and hope that something there sticks. And so all of you guys are good organizations. I believe every single person in this room, you know what to do. You know how to do it, and I think you know how to do it well. Good organizations are competent, but great organizations are healthy. They're healthy. I literally have in my notes, insert joke here, but I'm going to... There you go. And health is different. Health is about values. Health is about the well-being of your teams. Health ultimately is about the culture that you have. I don't say this as a pat on the back. Really, it's been 16 years, just some perspective. It took us 6 years to break 300 as a church. It took us 3 more years to break 400 as a church. It took us 5 more years to break 750 as a church. That was then through COVID life. And in the last year, 15 months, we've grown by 1,000. Okay. So I understand when you walk in the doors, what you see is the newer building. You see an LED wall. You see, look at all this staff. And I've been in your shoes. I've spent way more time on your side of this talk than on this side of this talk. And I know it's easy to walk in and go, wow, man, that must be nice. Oh, wow, they've got to go. Oh, man. Maybe you haven't thought that. Maybe you've walked in and thought, these guys are idiots. I don't know what they're... But what I want you to know is this. We are not nearly as good as what you think we are. We are not as smart as what we might appear to be. We are not that good. But we are incredibly healthier than you might think we are. We are very healthy. Now, I got a great staff, and they're sharp, and they're smart, okay? I try not to hire stupid people. But I said this yesterday. I know myself. I just know I'm not that good. But, man, we are committed to being healthy. And we've not always known how to be healthy. And so that is probably the greatest thing we've learned in the last 16 years is how to be healthy. And in order to be healthy, I got a lot of scripture in here. I don't know if I'll read all of it, but you've got it so you can go back to it. In Mark chapter 4, it's the story of the sower and the seed. It says that Jesus also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, what's it say? The soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel, yada, yada, yada. It grows and a harvest comes. All by itself, the soil produces grain. And I think in a lot of our churches, especially in the evangelical world, we focus on scattering seed, but we forget about the soil. We get focused on the big event and what we're going to do and what will attract and what new program is going to really take off and what new small group model is really going to make the difference. And I've got a theme for this year, you know. We've got a theme for the year and we're going to have Vision Sunday. Vision Sunday is going to do it. I have this vision and people are just going to flock to it, you know. I mean, I do Vision Sunday. I believe in it. I'm not against Vision Sunday. I'm not against small groups. I'm not against having a theme. I got a theme this year, all right? I'm just telling you, those things are flash in the pans. They can be catalysts, but it's the soil that matters. It is the healthy culture. It is the healthy team that matters. And so we count numbers. We look at numbers. But I try not to worry. I don't know if this is in your notes or not, but I have, don't worry about the numbers. Focus on creating a healthy culture. Focus on creating a healthy culture. And because by and large, healthy things grow. Okay? By and large, healthy things grow. And so one thing we picked up on a long time ago, it's been a long time ago now, is this idea from Chris Hodges in Church of the Highlands of being a breath of fresh air. He wrote a book years ago called Being a Breath of Fresh Air. And so I want to talk to you about how do we at Real Life create a fresh air culture. Four ways that we do that. And then I'll give you a little nuts and bolts with these. The first is this. You have to have vision alignment. Vision alignment. I always hated hearing the question when Patrick Lencioni would say, if I put everybody in a room on your staff, on your volunteers, everybody in your church, and I asked, what's the vision of your church? How many of them would know what to write down? And then maybe even worse, how many different answers would you get to that question, right? What's the vision of your church? And if there's anything I really believe that we have gotten serious about in the last 6 years, it's that we are going to know the answers to, just so you know, Patrick Lencioni's 6 critical questions from the book, The Advantage. So there's a book. If you haven't read it, you should read it, The Advantage. 6 critical questions. They're simple. Why do we exist? And everybody in our church can tell you, to create a place people love so they can experience a loving God. What do? We help people know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Well, that's the same as Highlands. You got it. Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The best system is the one that works. So I'm going to use it. So if y'all want to use it, you can use it too. If you want to do something that doesn't work, you can do that. But this works. Okay? That's what we do. How do we do it? We help people know God through our weekend services, find freedom in our small groups, discover their purpose on Growth Track, and make a difference on the Dream Team. Everybody knows these answers. What? How do we behave? That's our values. We have leadership values. I stole them from Chris Smith in the People of People's Church. It's the seven H's. We are holy, healthy, humble, hungry, hustle, hilarious, and we show honor. Okay? It's the seven H's. We know that. We believe it. We live it out. These are things that it's clear here. And if you're on the Dream Team, you know that. And you can say that. These are things that are ingrained. It is a clear vision alignment. The second thing you have to have is an elimination of politics. We don't do drama. We just don't. And honestly, I just didn't do drama from day one. So we planted the church. If you took over a church, you're probably wrestling with drama, and I pray for you, okay? But we planted a church, and we just said day one, we're going to be drama-free. So if you're on the worship team and you go, well, I just need a little more me in the monitor. Sorry, you need to go. You can go someplace else. You know, you figure that out. You know, like we're just not going to do that. I mean, sometimes you need a little more of you in the monitor. But hey, seriously, on the worship team, so some story, this is what we did. This is what we did for that. All the vocalists from day one, they had the same monitor mix. And that's going to be it. And all the musicians, they had their same, they had to share a monitor mix. And it was that way for a long time. Y'all going to have to figure out to get along. There's not going to be a diva. You're just going to have to be able to figure it out, you know. And so this Sunday, guess what? The guy who stands up front and sings the songs 75% of the time, that guy stood in the back, in the shadow, in the dark, and he played guitar. And he worshiped just as much as he did when he's up front on a microphone. And I applauded him for it on Sunday because what gets rewarded gets repeated. And so you don't do drama. And I added this morning. And one of the best ways to eliminate politics is to stay focused on the battle that you're in. There's not a whole lot of politics going on a battlefield because we got an enemy and we got a job to do. And listen, if you got rank, you call the shot, let's go. We're doing it. We've got an enemy to fight, and y'all, there are lost people who need saved. And we're going to stay focused on that, and it eliminates a whole lot of drama. All right, so eliminate politics. Then you have to have cohesive teams. Cohesive teams. You're going to hear a lot about this today, but I'm going to give you some of the practical. You were handed an honor code. That's something we use that starts from the very beginning to build a cohesive team here at Real Life. When you go through Growth Track, if you are going to join the Dream Team, which for us, 90% of people who go through Growth Track, their next step is to join the Dream Team. To be clear, the Dream Team is volunteering anywhere in the church. If you're a volunteer, you are on the Dream Team, okay? And so they'll sign this honor code, which we got from Highlands, but we did tweak. And I've had a lot of people ask for this document, so it's why I'm giving it to you. Because more and more, we see people who are coming into the church who are not, it's the only issues that ever come up with this are people who are sleeping together or they're struggling with, they're in a homosexual lifestyle. I'll just be honest. I'll just cut to the chase. So if people got these other issues, you know, we don't really know that and they lie about it or whatever. But if they're like living together, sleeping together, it becomes real clear when you go to send them a piece of mail, you know. And if they're two girls or two guys who all you got to do is look at their Facebook and you know what's going on. Like it just comes up. It just comes up. That's what comes up most often. So under the area of sexuality, we just put real clear what those things are, and we added scripture references for everything. And then at the bottom, this is what's hard is when we see something and we are calling them on it, like we know in our hearts we're wanting to call them up, but boy, it sure feels like you're calling them out. And so now with this honor code, they self-identify. At the bottom of that, they have three options down there to say, hey, I agree. I'm living it best I can. Boom, let's go. The second option is, hey, I agree with these, but I'm struggling in an area. I'd love to talk to a pastor. And the third is, I don't agree with this stuff, and that means my next step is not to be on the dream team. So if you're going to be on the dream team, you got to sign the honor code. Doesn't mean you got to be perfect. And but it means you say, this is the way I want to live. So we add people to our team who are sleeping together. But they've checked that box. And they go, okay, I see that. What's that mean? And we don't let them stand up and teach the children's lesson the next Sunday. You know, there are levels. But everybody is going to agree that this is the way I want to live. And we always use the example of an NFL football team. You know, it doesn't matter if you're the janitor or if you're the quarterback. If you win the Super Bowl, everybody gets a ring, right? Because we're all on the same team. We're all moving towards the same thing. So it's the first step to help us with cohesive teams. Then everybody goes through an onboarding process. That onboarding process teaches you everything from where do we keep the mop and broom in case you need to help sweep something up, to how you sign up, how you respond to on Planning Center or on our church community builder to accept a serve opportunity. It walks them through everything, nuts and bolts. They know it. It's clear. Okay, I don't have gaps I'm trying to fill in. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm supposed to be. I know when I'm supposed to be there. I know how I'm supposed to do that. They walk through this onboarding process. Then they go into shadowing. They shadow for a couple of weeks. And everybody does this. Everybody does it. So onboarding is important. And then the other thing I gave you is an org chart. That's what our dream team looks like. And I won't go into great detail. You guys know how to read an org chart and you know how to fill in the blanks on some of that stuff. And we can answer detailed questions if you want. But it gives a hierarchy. It gives roles. It helps you to see. And again, it just brings one of the ways we help build cohesive teams. And then the fourth thing that you have to have is you have to be clear and consistent. If you want to create a fresh air culture, you've got to be clear and consistent in your communication. Clear and consistent in your communication. And so, again, just some very practical ways that we do that. The only way we communicate on teams at Real Life Church, from door greeters to our senior leadership team, is on Slack. Now, I'm not saying you have to use Slack. What I am saying is there's only one place that we use for communication. It used to be that this team used Facebook because they all liked that. This group all had GroupMe, and that was really helpful. This one used text message and iMessage, but then somebody has an Android, and it blew everything up with the green instead of the blue. And then, you know, you just had, and then some people email, and some people, we just use Slack. And so everybody on any team, we communicate through Slack. And so that communication happens there, clear and consistent. Every Sunday morning, our teams huddle. We have an all-team huddle before our first service. We've gone to three services now. So the first one is at 7:15. And so that gets about half the people at that one. And then we do a second all-team huddle before one of our other services, and they meet in here. And so in those all-team huddles, they're getting the same communication. They're getting the same rah-rah. Just so you know, that all-team huddle, that's what it is. We celebrate something. I give them a word of faith for the day, and then we pray our guts out for 5 minutes for that weekend service. And it's just like, boom, here we go. That's what that huddle's about. Then they go to their individual team huddles, and that's where they get some nuts and bolts for the day. And then once a month, we have what we call community night. Community night is for anybody who leads people. If you look on your org chart, if you're a captain or a coach, you are invited to be at community night, and you are also encouraged to bring somebody or multiple people with you who you see leadership capability in. Somebody that you're trying to develop as a leader, we want you bringing people with you. And so those people come to community night. Sometimes we worship. We always pray together. There's some sort of vision casting, leadership lesson that's going to be taught. And then there's table talk where they're going to work that out and have discussion and fellowship. We celebrate individuals. So it's a monthly night for the leaders, our volunteer leaders in the church. And I'll give you the one guy who's not on our team who's talking today is going to be Chris Smith from People's Church, and he's going to tell you how to build great volunteer leaders who like own ministry. He's the king of that, in my opinion, at People's Church. And so just super, I'm glad. I'm going to sit down and take a bunch of notes. So those people gather once a month. So clear and consistent communication. And that's so those four things have to be there to have this culture of life, this healthy culture, because it's not the organization that's healthy, it's the people in the organization that are healthy. If your people are healthy, your teams will be healthy. If your teams are healthy, your church will be healthy. Kristen coined the phrase a couple of years ago, a healthy you is a healthy us. So a lot of pastors, and especially people like me, we want to tweak the program. We want to tweak the process. We want to tweak the policies. But what we've learned is if you want to be healthy, what you need to focus on is tweaking the people. Work on the people. Love on the people. Invest in the people. Care for the people because they need to be healthy. And if you want them to be healthy, now this is my challenge to you leaders, is you need to be healthy. You have to be healthy because you can't build culture. You are culture. You have to be culture. And if you want them to be healthy, that means you better be healthy. It means your marriage needs to be healthy. It means your finances need to be healthy. It means that your relationships with people in the church, outside of the church, need to be healthy. It means your spiritual life needs to be healthy. That one is huge, your spiritual life. It has to be healthy. Because if we focus on the, this is in your notes, if we focus on the size of the church, there is incremental growth. Everybody wants to grow. If you didn't want to grow, you wouldn't be here, okay? I think if you're a church that doesn't want to grow, you just must not care if people want to go to hell, right? Because church should be wanting to grow. Doesn't mean every church grows at the same rate. Doesn't mean every church growth looks the same. But you ought to be wanting to grow because heaven is real and so is hell, right? But if we focus, all we focus is on the church, on the size of the church, there's incremental growth. That's what, although I'm going to forget the book, that's what's called a lag measurement. You're going to measure it after the fact. Did the church grow? But if we focus on the health of the leader, there is great growth. Focusing on the health of your leaders, that's a lead measurement. You can control how much you invest in the leaders of your church, the volunteers in your church, how you invest in them relationally, how you invest in them spiritually, how you invest in them emotionally. You can control that. And what I'm telling you is if you will take control of that, it will pay off in the Sunday morning attendance. It'll pay off in the growth of your church numerically. In Daniel chapter 6, we see that it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps, however you say that word, to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, and one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. In other words, we are not naturally distinguished. Daniel was not naturally distinguished. In other words, it doesn't even say that God set Daniel apart. It says that Daniel distinguished himself. He did something. He worked at it. He leaned in. I have to work to develop those exceptional qualities. I have to work on myself to be healthy. I have to work on the people around me if they want to be healthy. I discipline myself because I'm not disciplined. I have to work at it. And this comes from leaning into the Lord. This is the Holy Spirit work inside of each one of us. Okay? Being healthy is the work of the Holy Spirit to hone off the rough edges, to show us the areas of impurity, to show us the areas where we're falling short, to show us areas where we're missing the mark, to show us where when we get squeezed, what's coming out is not the fruit of the Spirit. It's the funk of the flesh, right? I mean, it what happens when the video didn't fire on the right time? What comes out, pastors, right? You know, what comes out when your drummer doesn't show up on time, worship leaders? What comes out in you? Because those things are vital. It tells a story of how healthy I am. Am I producing the fruit of the Spirit in my life? And in order for us to do that, to be these fresh air leaders, I'm going to look at a couple of verses. We're going to see how to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." There's the Spirit. "And we who with unveiled faces," all, read it out loud with me, I'll make sure you're with me, "reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Who is the Spirit? Okay? The Lord is the Spirit. That word Spirit is pneuma in the Greek. You know that? That word pneuma means breath. It means you know, when you walk in and from the heat into the air-conditioned lobby and it goes, feels so good, right? I want to be that breath of fresh air. I want that Spirit to be at work within me. And that's hard to teach because it's not tangible. It's hard to teach culture. It's hard to teach health. How do we do that? Well, the Scripture says that we reflect the Lord's glory. The glory of God, that word in the Greek, you go back to it, means the full weight. The full weight or the full measure of the glory of God. I want to reflect His glory, His ever-increasing, more exceptional every day, right? Incrementally, it is moving forward. The glory of God is growing inside of me. I am reflecting it to Him. Okay, so what's the glory of God look like? We see that in two places. We see it in Revelation chapter 4, in the center of the room around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in the front and in the back, kind of creepy sounding. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third was like the face of a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. This is the second time we see that in Scripture. The first time you see it is in Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel writes, "Their faces looked like this. Each of them had four, had the face, each of the four had the face of a human being, and on the right side, the face of a lion, and on the left side of the face, an ox, and they also had the face of an eagle. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord." We want to reflect God's glory. That is the work of the Spirit in us, to reflect God's glory. What does God's glory look like? It's not that it is, but it looks like the likeness of the glory of the Lord is a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. So what do those things represent? Well, they represent four separate things. And we actually see them laid out in the Gospels as well, reflected there. So the first is the face of the lion. We see that in the Gospel of John. You say, why are we talking about this, Pastor Adam? Because I'm telling you, you've got to be healthy. We've got to be healthy leaders. We want to be a breath of fresh air everywhere we go. We want to reflect God's glory. It doesn't matter how well we preach. It doesn't matter how good you sing. It doesn't matter how many small groups you have to offer. If we're not healthy, if we're not reflecting Jesus, if we're not building that in our teams and the people around us, this is what we want inside of them. And so the face of the lion represents might. John is showing this, that this is the almighty, all-powerful, miracle-working God, right? When you read the book of John, it's the one gospel that's not the synoptic gospel. It's the spiritual. It is deep. It is powerful. It is John's goal to prove to us that Jesus is the Messiah, right? There's no genealogy because it's not focused on His human beginning. No, it's His spiritual. It's His eternal beginning. All the I am statements are in the book of John. And so the way we say it here when we teach our dream team is we say we're going to love God. We're going to love God. If we're going to reflect God's glory, we're going to reflect that face of the lion. It's going to be we love God and who He is. You got to get God inside of you. Acts 4:13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I'll never forget being in Tunisia and listening to Dick Brogdon as we get ready to walk the streets in an Islamic country, and he talked with us about walking down the streets, and you can just sense the darkness of the people around you. You could sense the demonic when you would pass by certain individuals, and he couldn't help but ask the questions, but could they sense Jesus in me? Can they tell that you've been with Jesus when you show up on Sunday? When you come to your staff meeting, can they tell that you've been with Jesus? One Gallup poll said that the number one factor for credibility in the church is the passion of the pastor. Are you in love with Jesus? We say it this way to our dream team all the time. The greatest gift that you bring to your team is not your function. It's not your talent. It's not what you do. The greatest thing you bring to your team is your love for Jesus. It's your love for Jesus. So I'll give you these real quick. We actually teach these in Growth Track. So you have to develop your closeness with God. Okay? What's your personal quiet time like? You have to develop your character. Take every precaution necessary to keep yourself pure, because the devil is fighting against you harder. Probably he's fighting against you harder than you're fighting against him. So what do you need to do to develop your character? Resist the devil and his schemes. And third of all, develop your calling. You know, we all love the young person who says, I feel called. I should be singing worship. I'm called to lead worship. I'm called to preach. I'm called to that. Okay, just because you're called doesn't mean you don't need to work on your calling, right? Doesn't mean you don't need to develop it. So I watch 3-4 sermons a week, and I watch mine back every single week, and it's still painful after 16 years because I develop new quirks and new habits and new weird things that I do, and so I'm my biggest critic. Develop your calling. The second face is the face of a man. We see this in the Gospel of Luke. Luke shows us Jesus as human, that he's special, but he's one of us. It's where we see the most parables. Jesus is a storyteller. Nothing relates to people more than telling stories. By the way, you want to make your preaching better, tell some stories. Tell some good stories. The genealogy goes all the way back to Adam. He's relating to all humans. He's not just powerful, but he's relational. So the way we say that on our team here, we want to create healthy teams, is we say we're going to love people. We love God, and we love people. And I'll be honest, it's a poll, but too many pastors love crowds, but they don't love people. Okay? Good old-fashioned. You know, the shepherd's going to smell like some sheep, okay? Shepherds shouldn't look like sheep, so don't become one of them, but you should smell like sheep. Okay? We should be around people, love people. Sorry, I stole a line from Kalani's teaching here a little bit later. This isn't natural for me, just so you know. Like, I can walk in that auditorium, and there's somebody crying on the third row, and I go, man, did you see that lights out? Who's going to do something about that? You know? Honestly, when somebody's crying, I turn into, like, Will Ferrell on Talladega Nights. I'm like, I don't know what to do with my hands, right? I'm just kind of like, my emotional intelligence is low, okay? I'm nicknamed an accidental mess maker. That's me. I love people. I really do. I just didn't pick up on the fact that they were having a horrible week. And so I came in and, you know, rattled off something that needs to be changed. And I left them in a puddle of tears, you know. And so I try to be better at that. But we need to love people. And so 1 Thessalonians 2:8, we loved you. I love this, Paul. We love you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Leaders, are you hanging out with your team? Are you hanging out with the people in your church? I mean, last night, people in our church, it wasn't even our small group night, but small group just said, hey, let's get together. Let's hang out. And we're doing it. We're just hanging out. We're spending time together. We just got back from a staff retreat. You know what we accomplished? Basically nothing except hanging out. And I really wanted to accomplish some things. By the time we got through halfway through that first night, I was like, this is it. We're not going to accomplish anything. But we are accomplishing a ton. But and guess what? This morning on our weekly Zoom call, so here's some more healthy staff stuff. Every Monday morning at 8:45, David leads a Zoom call with our staff. And every Thursday morning at 8:45, he leads a Zoom call with our staff, coming out of the weekend and going into the weekend. And this morning's Zoom call, I was overhearing it with Christian on it, was full of all the you had to been there jokes from our retreat last week. Because, and so guess what? That creates healthy culture, okay? With those laughs, that time together creates a healthy culture. So spend time on with people. Spend time with them. Take them on the spiritual journey. The growth, this is my one John Maxwell quote for the day. The growth and development of people is the highest calling of the leader. The growth and development of people is the highest calling of the leader. And so do these three things. See people as they could be. There's a reason why Kalani is going to teach you on how to be a teacher, because he is the best at this on our staff. I would have kicked so many people off the worship team in the last 2 years if I was in charge of it, that he has kept and he has taught them and he has developed in them, because he sees in them who they could be, right? And so I want to be more like that. See people through the eyes of faith. Don't size people up based on what you see, okay? See people as they could be. And then say what you see. Say it. Say what you see with eyes of faith. Some of you are great at this. Some of you are not natural. Being an encourager is free. It costs you nothing. You just have to remember to do it. And if you're not natural at it, like me, then create reminders in your phone to be nice, to say encouraging things, to write notes to people. Okay, I have one that goes off and it says, write a note to Kristen. And she saw that. But you would think she would say, well, how loving is that? You know, it's so loving that I don't want to forget, right? And I know myself. And so say what you see and then start a process to develop them. We'll talk about some of those processes today throughout the day. But start a process to develop them. The third face is the face of the eagle. We see that in the Gospel of Matthew. Okay? The eagle is regal. It's excellence. It's details. I remember the first time I saw an eagle here in Hancock County, you're like, whoa. I pulled up and there's just a line of traffic just sitting in a country road. I'm like, what's going on? People are getting out of their car and they're staring. You're like, what in the world? And you get out and you look up and like, there's a bald eagle. And you're like, whoa. Right? That's excellence. Mark 7:37 says the people were overwhelmed with amazement because he had done everything well, they said. Jesus had done everything well. Matthew is full of details. There's lots of Old Testament. And so the way we say it is we pursue excellence. We pursue it. It's rare that we obtain it, right? The old poster used to hang up in the football locker room, you know. Shoot for excellence, shoot for perfection, and excellence will be accepted, right? If you shoot for the moon and you miss, you'll still be amongst the stars, okay? There's some posters you can hang up in your church, all right? So we're going to pursue excellence, and excellence is doing ordinary things extraordinarily well. It's just the unexpected, you know? Oh, wow, that was neat. Wow, I wasn't expecting that. Hey, that was kind of cool. Did you see how that they did this? Oh, did you see how they did? Like, just little things, extraordinarily well. We talk about the 2% rule a lot. How could it be 2% better? Because you know what? If you look across your kids' ministry and you make five different things 2% better, you just got 10% better. That's pretty significant, right? If you're listening to The Mix on Sunday morning and you're like, does that sound right? Eh, you know, it's probably okay. Yeah, but if you just EQ those vocals and make them 2% better, and you mess with the drums just a little bit, make them 2% better. Again, you do 3, 4, 5 of those things, all of a sudden you got 8, 10% better. That's significant. Nobody's going to notice the 2%, but they'll notice the 10%. And so this next name comes from Howard Schultze, or however you say his name, Excellence Wins, the guy who founded Ritz-Carlton Hotels, and he says this is what people want. They want the product to be defect-free, which means they want quality. And so let me encourage you in something. I would rather not do something than to do it not well. We went years with a 3-piece band because the fourth guy was not very good, right? And so we're going to be a 3-piece band. It was years before we put our worship online because it would not have brought glory to God. You know what I mean? So if we're going to do something, we're going to do it well. In our social media for years, and we probably still do some, we just used Canva. Look, professional people created these graphics. I'm probably not going to do better than them just because I know how to use Photoshop. So I'm going to buy those graphics, and I'm going to post them, right? So we're going to look for ways to be defect-free and be quality. They want a product that is timely in fashion, which means on time. Okay? Start on time, end on time. Do your best to do that. If you're the worship guy, you know, and your pastor says, hey, I need the microphone by this time, and you're up there worshiping, and you feel the Spirit leading, that was not the Spirit leading. That was the pizza you ate last night. Because your pastor said, I need the microphone by this time. Now, if your pastor wants to come up and say, you know, I feel the Spirit moving, and we're going to stay here, great. Hang out there. But be on time. Be on time with the stuff that you do. Youth leaders, when you take your students out for an event and you say you're going to be back at 9 o'clock, be back at 9 o'clock. Keep your word. Do the things that you say that you're going to do. Get people through. Figure out your check-in systems. When your kids are coming in, if it takes a new person 6 minutes to get checked in, you're going to be in trouble because the average person arrives for church within 8 minutes of its start time. And so when they get there with 6 minutes and it takes them 6 minutes to get checked in and then they're trying to come in and find a seat, man, that means service has probably already started by now, and now they're trying to find a seat when everybody's standing up. That is not a great experience. So figure out a way. We got to add more check-in stations. We got to get more people doing it. We got to ask less questions. Whatever it is, you got to figure out. Be timely. And then they want people who deliver the product to be nice. So we're going to be caring. As we lean on our team, do we want healthy teams? We want to build a healthy culture. We want people to be caring. We want you to know that we care more about you than you can imagine. We really do. We don't want anything from you. We only want something for you. We only want what's best for you. And Shauna will talk about it later. We do not get upset. You are not allowed to get upset if somebody wants to leave your team and join another team. We don't. Not only do we not get upset about that, we celebrate them. Okay? Because we really care about you and what's going on in your life. And so we work that into everything that we do. In fact, I'll just say one little thing on that. Let me give you 4 C's. I'm not going to talk about them at all. But we teach the 4 C's of leadership, and I don't think this is in anybody else's talk today. So when you become a coach or a captain, if you lead people, we boil everything that you do as a coach or a captain down to these 4 C's. And they are celebration. We want you celebrating your people. Communication. Okay. One of the biggest reasons for burnout is because people don't know what to expect. They don't know what's going on. They just get mad. So that's frustrating for them. Frustration lives in the gap between expectation and reality. And your communication can close that gap. Celebration, communication, care. So that was the care piece. You're going to care for them spiritually, emotionally, physically. You're going to care for them. And coaching. I don't care what order you put these in, really. If you only get one of them right, get the care piece right. Okay? I gave Shauna this line this morning, but I'm going to use it anyway. People don't leave churches. People leave people. Okay? And they're not leaving because you work them so hard. We got people who will walk off a cliff for real life church because we care about them. Okay? So they want to feel cared for. And then the last face is the face of the ox, and that's found in the Gospel of Mark. And the ox represents a servant, right? That ox will die for you on an altar or it'll plow your field. I want to be that way. I want to be a servant. I want to be a servant leader. I want to be willing to stack chairs. I want to be the first one here. I want to be willing to run the vacuum afterwards. I want to be willing to go to the hospital. I want to be willing to do whatever needs to be done. And I need to lead with that. That's my heart, because this church is not here to serve me. I am here to serve this church. My staff is not here to serve me. I am here to serve them. And I need that face of an ox if we're going to have a healthy culture. In the book of Mark, there is, again, no genealogy. It starts with Jesus serving people, right? Who needs to know the pedigree of a servant? I don't need to know their genealogy, right? And so this is all about attitude. And the way we say it is, I'm going to choose joy. So we love God, we love people, we pursue excellence, and we choose joy. These are things we say all the time. And you have to choose it. Psalm 102, serve the Lord with gladness, right? This, I think this might be the greatest church growth principle. I won't read the whole scripture, but there is a spirit of heaviness in our world. And we have good news. So proclaim good news. Smile. Have fun. Have popcorn on Sunday. Give them ice cream when you leave. I love, David Wigginton told me last year, I think next to Easter, your biggest Sunday was when you had alpacas and churros. Lana, I think it was your guy's idea, the kids pastor. Hey, yeah, llamas and churros. How spiritual is that? Not at all. Except David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And I think we got a lot of people who say, I was mad when they said unto me, or I was sad when they said unto me. And let's just do some stuff to have fun. I've got good news. And so let's be joyful, let's be positive, and let's be encouraging. Those are your three B's there in your notes. Be joyful, be positive, be encouraging, bring the good news. Be happy, cheer people on, high fives. Smiles are free. They cost you nothing. Smile all the time, okay? And if you have people on your team, can I tell you one of the ways we do this so well? It's because we are a high feedback culture. We tell you when you come in, that coaching piece, we're going to tell you. We have a gal who just busts it on our hospitality team. And if you don't know what this means, don't Google it because it's not very Jesus-y. But she has what the world calls RFB. RBF. Yep, that's what it is. See, I don't even know. I'm just so holy. Others have told me about this. Other people have shared with me. So she just, her resting face looks like I'm upset. And so, you know, how many of you know it takes some guts just to call somebody and go, look, you're just going to have to smile. You got to smile. And we remind her, smile, smile, smile. You know, now she's like, you know. So all the time. And it's because smiles are free. It just goes a long way. We want people to be excited and happy to be here on a Sunday morning. Make every experience a breath of fresh air. I want to be full of the Spirit of God so that I can reflect the full weight of His glory in an ever-increasing measure. So I'm going to love God. I'm going to work to develop it, to distinguish myself by loving God, loving people, pursuing excellence, and choosing joy.